Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday. It's November 18th, 2014. Freshly back from the Holy Land. And tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel will join me as we recount some of the God sightings and wonderful ways he worked through our group of 20 as we traveled throughout Israel. Just prior to leaving, about 12 days ago, I had Peter Snyder, director of Bethel House of Refuge, along with his friend Chris Bates in the studio, and you'll hear that conversation now in its entirety. Peter, you were a guest on Mark and Friends some weeks back, and you were telling me about this individual you recently saw by the name of Chris Bates, and you were so encouraged and blessed. In fact, when you first saw him, you didn't recognize him, and then you got talking, and I think he actually initiated with you, and you brought him to the studio to share some of his faith journey, and I guess he spoke recently at your church. So who is this friend, and why bring him here?
Yeah, he just shared the goodness of God that he really received and participated in from the ministry of Bethel House of Refuge in the prison. And it was really a stunner, a divine appointment in the Champaign post office. So it's good for other stuff besides getting the mail. And he came up to me. I didn't recognize him. I see a lot of people. And, of course, he looks different. I mean, he looks a lot different than what he did then, you know. And really, there's a light in him that you can see. I mean, it's really tremendous what God has done. And I'm just so thankful to be able to see the results of one effort in his life.
Yeah, I think during the two-day interview that we had, you talked about oftentimes when you do prison ministries, you may never see these guys again. Oftentimes that's the case. You don't know if the seeds have been sown properly or if there's fruit that's being born later on.
Right.
And you said when you met up with Chris, you were like, wow, he's overseeing a couple different businesses, seemingly successful, grounded, walking with the Lord. And you said it was such an encouragement because you said oftentimes you don't get the feedback or hear from these guys.
Right. And it's the Lord. It's good because the feedback really came at the right time for me, and it kind of bolsters your excitement, your willingness to go out for another year or two or three and not really see anything. And that's part of the work of faith in your life. But God just gave me a taste of, you know, what is the benefit of what we're doing in his life. Man, I'm thrilled for him. He's a lot of guys go in and out. It's like a revolving door, but this guy's not going back.
Mm-hmm. And
unless he preaches.
And Bethel House of Refuge, give us a quick thumbnail on what that ministry is all about.
That's in prison, and we're believing that in the not-too-distant future, we're going to be post-prison. We're working with guys that are both in and out of prison. We're trying to get things started. It'd take me a long time to tell you. So I'm just saying that our vision is that we would provide job skills, housing, and a job for guys when they first come out, as well as spiritual training and discipleship, so that by the time they're out a year, they're going to have the ability to cope with the things that they didn't have to deal with while they were in prison.
And our Great News Radio listeners can access more information at BethelHouseOfRefuge.com.
Right.
BethelHouseOfRefuge.com, or call Peter Snyder at 217-586-5674. That's 217-586-5674. Well, Chris, that divine appointment, I guess, happened a month or so back. You met up with Pete, who was used of God to minister to you. You were obviously incarcerated, so you made some poor judgment calls or mistakes, and there were some consequences. But now you're out. You have a fitness equipment service and sales business. I think you sell dental equipment or something else. You're kind of an entrepreneurial type, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I have a couple businesses. I just sort of started from... took my old experience, that's what the dental business is, and then the new experience, that's the fitness equipment.
And walk us through some of your journey. Now, I know that you were an Air Force brat. In fact, you were pretty much set from an early age on desiring to go to West Point or serve in the military. You grew up in a family like most of us. I guess almost all of us could say dysfunctional to some degree. I mean, I don't know of anyone that has just the ideal perfect family, but you desired to attend West Point. But I think at the time, maybe a bit prideful or humility wasn't maybe on the top characteristics of where you were at. I think maybe you were successful in certain endeavors, but did you have a faith journey going on during the younger years?
When I was a kid, our family was kind of strange, I guess, like everybody's family, but we went to a Jewish temple for a while. went to a bunch of churches, so I was kind of exposed to a lot of religions. I was sort of a wild kid. My sister and I were both. We didn't really go to school very often. And so after my parents got divorced, I got the opportunity to go to a Catholic military school. I really liked that, but it was also Catholic military school, so mass twice a week and you know, all that kind of stuff. So I am blessed by God. I mean, I feel like I got a tremendous amount of skills and knowledge, and my parents might not have been the great parents, but they're both pretty skilled, and I think I got a lot of that. And I guess the downfall there is I was a very prideful person, very arrogant, and I just rejected, you know, all that stuff. I don't need it. No, whatever it is, I don't, you know.
God's for those that are handicapped, or, you know, God's for the, I don't want to say the anemic, but those that are kind of weak-spirited.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing that I'm just thinking of, a lot of that was just being very selfish. And so a very selfish person, I mean, it's sort of the opposite of a loving person. So when you want to be selfish and you feel the instinct to love, well, there's a conflict there. And mm-hmm. So I surrendered to the selfish side. And being very successful in life, I mean, in school and high school, I kind of feel like I got everything I wanted. If I wanted to go do a specific camp or sport, I did. I wasn't a great athlete or anything, but if I wanted to go do something, I did it, and it worked out. But very, very deceiving personally, because, you know, I grew up thinking, well, I can just sort of do what I want, and it's going to be cool, you know, which works until it doesn't work.
And that kind of led you to the point where, didn't you have like this expensive sports car or just kind of success of life? You had money, you had opportunity, you traveled around. And I think you kind of described it. Maybe you were just using an analogy, but you were going like 1,000 miles the wrong direction at high speeds until God kind of said, okay, you're far enough away from me. And that resulted in a prison sentence.
Yeah, exactly. I do feel like, I feel like I was given this awesome sports car. And like you just said, I just ran it into the ground, and that wound up in prison, which, you know, a lot of people might say, oh, that's terrible. But in my case, I feel like that was a lifesaver. A lot of people go to prison. Some people are humbled by it. But the biggest thing that I got out of it, I think, was a humble spirit, where I was able to start asking and say, well, whatever I've been doing is not right. You know, my family life, my personal life, my professional life, all of it is just wrong. So I don't know where to turn. So I had a cell to myself for some reason, and I was just crushed on the floor. I felt like a train wreck was just continuing to go on and on and on and on and on. And I was just right there in the middle of it. And one of the prison volunteer chaplains happened to be walking by my door and just happened to kick a Bible under it.
And you were literally at this point on the floor.
I was literally on the floor crying, thinking about suicide, thinking of all those selfish thoughts where you think, poor me, poor me, poor me. And boom, God just, that's the humility of Jesus. You know, he could have bashed through that door and been judgmental with every, you know, large and in charge, but he didn't. He just came right under the door. So
I know sometimes people reference God as like the hound dog of heaven coming after us, and here you're literally on the floor, you know, crying out, and this Bible gets kind of shoved or slid, and it hits into your head, or it comes right upon you, and you're like, in a sense, as you were describing off air, God came to you. God pursued
yes.
you at a point when you weren't really pursuing him.
Right. I was looking for painkiller. You know, I felt terrible about myself, where I was. I wanted to be back driving my BMW and all that stuff. And then, yes, God just came right, got kicked, actually, under the prison door, hit me in the nose.
So now there's this Bible. Did you open it up just to the center, flipping pages? Did you go from the beginning, Genesis? Oh, this is an interesting account. When did it start becoming more than just this story, maybe like a real personal word from God for you?
I got to say that when I'd read the Bible before, so this being this delivery, I was sensitive to the timing of it, you know, and I thought, well, okay, now I've got this, but I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. It's like if you handed me a satellite, okay, well, it's a satellite, but I don't know what to do with it. Apparently can see, but whatever, I don't know. So God was at such a work, and it's amazing because a person like myself in that stage, completely selfish, completely focused on the world, and, you know, craving all the sinful life that I had. That's what I wanted. So if I was a drug addict, I was craving that heroin. So I had the Bible, and my thing, you know, my worldly thought was, will this get me what I want? Hmm. Well, you know, this will this get my sick off, to speak like an addict? And I'm not going to say it was my judgment, but I'm going to say that God gave me the desire to ask, how does this work? How do I get your word? How do I pray? How do I get a relationship with you? Thank God. I mean, it's really a miracle that I had seclusion. God gave me the seclusion. He gave me his word. I prayed for discernment. I prayed for understanding. Bam.
And part of that seclusion, maybe somebody who's just tuning in, that you were alone in a cell. You didn't have other cellmates or other people, you know, hassling you or breathing down your neck or crowding you when God was at a point of helping you with the discovery of him.
Absolutely. It's very unusual because usually you're overcrowded. Usually, you know, you might have a guy at 6 a.m., he leaves at noon, another guy comes. It's just bam, 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 bam. And there's all this activity. What God gave me was a private little prayer closet. I mean, it was really amazing.
And then what's the progression? Did this chaplain come by, or were there additional visits, or did the word start becoming alive where, I mean, you know, you had some Catholic background with the high school, so you knew about Jesus or Mary or some of the biblical narrative, I'm sure, but did it start becoming not only personal, but God, you died for me. You can take away my sins. Was that something that maybe Pete or others came in and started conveying that, yes, you've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. We all fall short of the mark. But we have a redemptive God that has your best interest in mind, and he desires that relationship with you. So did you find that starting to grow where you could pray and you felt like he was answering you?
Absolutely. I felt like it was a tutorship, the Holy Spirit and myself. And then once I got out of that isolation into like the general population and was able to go to the prison chaplain services, the volunteer prison ministries like Pete, there was a bunch of them down there in Graham where I was, and then, of course, Danville where Pete is. So going from an academic understanding of, okay, this is the Bible and this is what it says, and taking that from academic to heartfelt and understanding, having God say, you know, this is my word, this is what it means. So that whole situation, I guess, was an awesome incubator for a rebirth, a new life.
For our listeners, for perspective, have you been on this faith journey? Was this 3, 5, 7 years ago? Because now you're, if you will, a successful businessman. Has there been that transition? Okay, Lord, now I'm getting out. I need a job. I need to make some income. Have you come to the point where you've dedicated your business to the Lord? You know, provide for me so I can provide for my fiance or a future relationship? Or is that something that you're still like, gosh, Mark, I've never even thought about you, man? Business could be wholly given over to the Lord, used for his glory. I don't know where you're at with that.
Well, I tell you, it's pretty interesting because one of the most important things God did for me in prison was to bring me to my knees and show me humility, still recognizing my many, many strengths, thank God. But all those things that I was focused on before are now not the focus. So I feel tremendously liberated in that I don't have to go make $1 million. I can have $10 and share some of it and be comfortable. And so I have this little business. I can hire other people, and I can pay them a pretty decent wage. So I guess I don't really think about it in the way as, oh, well, I'm doing some sort of good work. I think, well, this is a very good business practice that I can share. So does that answer your question?
Yeah. And I think of one of my favorite verses, and I have one of these Bibles here. It's called Marketplace, presenting Jesus' call in service, witness, and righteousness. And it was at a InterVarsity gathering in 1986. It was transformational because it used that Colossians 3:23, whatever you do. And I love that, whatever you do. But it goes on to say, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And the concept of the Marketplace overarching theme was, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. So you might be paid, in my case, by Jewel Food Stores, but I'm really working for God. You might be paid by the University of Illinois or Bank of America, but you're working for God, be that worker bee. And so it transformed, in my mind, the setting of the work environment. It was my ministry where I could influence and impact people's lives. And so it made work become a holy endeavor. It was just no longer, okay, I got to put my 40, 50, 70 hours in. I can do this and treat people as God would have me treat people. And oftentimes people say, well, the pastor has the unique calling or the missionary, but I'm just kind of a slug. I finance maybe missions projects or help, you know, donate to the church, but I'm not in ministry. And yet the calling is we're all in ministry. And so sometimes people make that transition, you know, like maybe that you're doing. You're providing jobs maybe for a single mom or somebody that needs an income. You're using honesty and some biblical characteristics to further the kingdom, even though it's not missional, if you will, but it's just common good business practices. So anyways, I just kind of wanted to know if you've looked at your work as an outreach of your ministry, because we all are influencers.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing, is that we are, our everyday daily walk is a walk with Christ. And the people that we, you know, people say, you know, I want to go to wherever and I want to do a mission. I think, well, that's great. But you're here right now. You're on a mission right now. The people that you meet,
that's right,
are the people that need to hear your story. You have a story.
Mm-hmm.
It won't relate to everybody. It will relate to somebody. And you probably meet that person today. One of the things that I'm very blessed to be in a position in, and actually it was Alan's idea, I was advertising. It's very funny if I can talk about a little bit of a digression. There's a high.
Hey, I'm all about digressions and tangents.
Okay, that's good.
Anyone that's tuned in for any period of time, they know my tendency. Go ahead.
There's supposed to be super high unemployment. Okay. You advertise for a help wanted position. Nobody's interested. People don't want to do it. Whatever. You know, you get hardly anybody. So I was looking for a skilled service technician. Oh, people would call and they want $65 an hour to drive a car. I said, no, that's not going to work. People would. You know,
it's crazy.
It's right. Yeah, you're not going to pay a guy $65 an hour to come to your house and work on something, right? Okay, you're in the car. So Alan, I was like, well, don't look for the people who know what they're doing. Look for somebody you can train up,
mm-hmm.
which was fantastic. So I advertised for that, which actually led me to a bunch of young people. If you've been paying attention to education in this country for the last 20 years, if you're under 20 right now, your mind is full of mush and propaganda. That's my belief, right?
Yeah.
And so I interview these guys. We go and work in interviews, and, you know, they're mostly atheist. I know why that's in their head, because that's the education system. And they have a very messed up belief of how things work. So my work in interview, I'm just interacting with these guys, asking them all these kinds of questions. And when they get to the, I'm not asking them, well, so what's your religion? I mean, that's not a bona fide work qualification. But we get to it.
Yeah.
And so the guys would say that. I said, you know, that's very curious, because almost everybody your age has that same exact response. And so I'm not trying to tell them whatever. I'm not trying to push anything on them. But so they say, well, so what do you believe? And I say, well, I believe in Christ. I'm a Christian. And they might ask a few questions and we carry it forward. But I think that gives me an opportunity to live a testimony.
Right, right.
And to maybe show a guy who's trying to look for direction in life a way to go. Not that he doesn't have to follow me, but there's somebody he can follow.
Well, that's your mission field.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
Now, Peter, you're beaming over here because you know some of Chris's story in the background and the success that he's making. And the success is measured in a lot of ways, but there's depth to his character. There's a surrendering to the Lord. There's a new humility that you didn't notice when maybe you first met with him. And you're kind of, I won't say a proud papa bear over here, but you're pretty pleased to see anyone that's growing from stage one to stage two to stage three.
You bet. Well, the truth is everybody's humble in prison. Some of it's real, some of it's enforced humility. And humility in prison doesn't always translate to humility on the outside. And that's really what I see with him, is that brokenness, the train wreck that he talked about, produced a characteristic in him that has value in God's economy. And that's humility. Yeah, I'm excited. You know what? It's like payback for me. And his success, in part, I can revel in it. I'm not living vicariously, but I can really just say, thank you, God, that you've given me just a little peek and a preview that this young man is successful because of the grace that you delivered to him through prison ministry, not just us. Well, and you said that there's a lot of religion in there too. So, you know, the fact of the matter is, ministry, so to speak, seems to be a commodity in the Christian church. But not everybody that went was sent, you understand? So when God sends you as a messenger, God gives you the message. And I think that's what you're talking about, isn't it? A lot of religion in there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, people in prison, whether they admit it or not, everybody is looking. I mean, everybody is trying to grab and find something to hold on to. There's so much religion. There's so much custom. There's so much, if I just do this and this and this, I'll get my wife back. I'll make more money. I'll be able to sell drugs and not go to prison. Yeah, so any religion you can think of, whether it's a cult thing or a house of Yahweh or whatever, it's there, and Satan knows it, and he uses that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's 10 million guys who think they've got the answer, and they got their hands on the prize, but they don't. What there's a poverty of is the truth. And so when guys like Pete, Mr. Brandt, and all those guys I can't remember back in Graham, when they come in and they just bring that good word, it's a breath of fresh air. I mean, it's life.
Well, speaking of good word, Chris, we're going to give you the last closing comment with about a minute left. What would be your word of wisdom with somebody that's maybe dealing with pride? They say, I don't need a God. I'm doing fine. I'm okay. Don't push religion on me.
Every knee will bow. Every knee will bow before the Lord. Learn it now or learn it later.
You bet.
In case you just tuned in, Chris Bates is in the studio with me, along with our longtime friend Peter Snyder, who's the executive director of Bethel House of Refuge. You can find out more at BethelHouseOfRefuge.com, BethelHouseOfRefuge.com. And Chris, thank you for sharing your testimony. And say a listener wants to know more or can identify with what you've walked through, is there a way they can get in touch with you? Or maybe somebody wants to purchase some fitness equipment or dental equipment. I don't know. I guess you have a couple of different businesses. Is there a way they can get a hold of you or a website or something?
They can go to synrgys.com, synrgys.com, synergist.com if they want to. To contact me, it would be best to go through the Bethel House of Refuge, which I think you have the contact information there.
Yeah, that'd be 217-586-5674, 217-586-5674. And thanks for being transparent and sharing some of your faith journey, and congratulations. I know in the studio, in the background, is a couple of friends and your fiancé. So
yeah.
Thanks for coming and sharing and being a part of this program. And thanks for listening. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.